What a great day this morning is, and it's just great to see you here this morning, and God is so good. Been a full weekend. You ever have those times when you just feel like there's not enough hours, and you think, let's add an eighth day to the week, just so we can have a little break? It wouldn't happen. You know what happened? It'd fill right in, wouldn't it? It's like sticking your finger in the bottom of a lake thinking you're going to kind of lower the water level a little bit, and it'd just fill right in. You'd find something to do with those hours. Oh, it's been so good. This morning, I want to talk about a full-service station. When I was a kid, I enjoyed watching a show with the Andy Griffith Show. Some of you remember the Andy Griffith Show? And I loved it because there was some of you are going, the what? You have to watch the oldie station now to get some of this. But there was a gas station there. It looked a little like this, actually, and a couple guys worked there by the name of Gomer Pyle and Goober. You remember Gomer and Goober? And they'd come out as soon as you came up. Now, I actually remember stations like this, full-service stations, when I was a kid, where you'd drive up and there would be a little hose that you'd run over and it would ring the bell inside. And man, these guys came out and they were right there. I mean, it wasn't Goober and Gomer, but these guys would come up and they would just start taking care of the car. I mean, they'd check the oil and they'd always pop the hood up and then the tires and the gauges and, you know, the windshield. They're up there just, and how you doing today? And they'd talk to you. And I remember that as a kid. Now you go there and you're on your own. I went to the gas station the other day. I was in a hurry. I had a meeting. But I was almost out of gas, so I stopped down by the bridge before I came out to work, and I just wanted to pump some gas. That's all I wanted to do. And so I took my card, and actually my wife's card, she was there filling up. She says, come on up. She says, I'm already up here. We'll go ahead and fill up the other van too. So I was up there, and I put the card in, and I'm standing there, and nothing happens. It says, go see attendant. So I went inside to see the attendant. I got in there, and there was about 12 people in line. I'm not kidding you. And the line was, there were three ladies working, but only one was working. The other two were talking. And then the guy in front was trying to get the right lottery ticket. And I'm thinking, oh, this is going to take a while. So I went, I got in line. I finally got through the line. I said, I need some gas. My car didn't work. Oh, okay, I'll push a button. You go out and try it again. So I went out and I tried it again. I'm out there and I put my card in and I'm standing there waiting again. And I'm thinking, all right, I'm already 15 minutes now late for my meeting by standing in this long line. And now I'm back outside where I started. And it said, see attendant, card denied. And I thought, you have got to be kidding me. And I'm standing there, so I reached up and I pushed the button. Service. So I pushed the button. Can I help you, sir? Yes, it's not working. And she said, well, put your card in. I said, I did. She goes, come in and see me. I said, I've already been in there once. I'm kind of in a hurry. She said, well, go ahead and try it again. So I tried it again and said, see service attendant. I pushed the button again. And she gets on and she says, sir, it won't work unless you hang up the handle. And I'm standing there going, and the handle's hung up. I didn't have the handle. And I just kind of went, the handle's hung up. And she goes, sir, you're going to have to hang up the handle. I said, the handle's hung up. She said, sir, hang up the handle. And I'm standing there and she could see me. I said, look, the handle is hung up. I said, this is ridiculous. So my wife went back in again, and I'm standing thinking, now I'm about 30 minutes late. This is ridiculous. And finally, I don't know what they did. They got it figured out, and they said, pump all you want. And I said, oh, yeah, okay, but I'm still paying for it. Full service. That was more one of those self-service, no-service stations. I remember as a kid, though, going with my parents. And I loved it in South Dakota. There was this one particular gas station by the farmer's elevator. And I loved going there for not just the full service, but they had grape knee-high in a glass bottle. You remember grape knee-high and orange knee-high? Oh, I was like, that's where we ought to get our gas every time we go gas up. And I loved that little place. And every once in a while, I could even have one down before we left. And I could get two of those knee-highs. I love that. Well, full service station. As a church, do people feel that way? You come into church and you maybe not know what's going on. You're trying to figure things out about maybe, oh, what's this home group thing? Or, hey, I heard there's this really neat event that I might be able to help out at Christmas, a reverse Christmas where we give to the community. But then you go to ask somebody and they go, I'm sorry, you got to hang up the handle. And you stand there and you keep coming back and you just don't know what's going on. Or maybe in your own life, you just try, you're trying this thing out with God, and you're like, God, and God's trying to tell us to do something, and we're trying to do it, and we don't get it figured out. Well, I think as a church, we ought to be a full service station. There was a guy about 35 years ago that figured this out. His name was Sam Walton. And with his bib overalls and his old pickup truck, he started a few little franchise businesses, a couple hardware stores. And then out of there, he got this brilliant idea. He says, you know, I got this great idea. I'm going to open up a place that has full service. You know, you can go there and you can get your pharmacy needs. You can go get your tractor supplies. You can go get your kids' needs, your electronics, and now even your groceries. And he came up with this brilliant idea, and he says, I'm going to buy from direct. I'm going to buy right from the suppliers, the retail, the regular hotel wholesalers. Walton's management style was popular with employees. He founded some of the most basic concepts of management that are still in use today. After taking the company public in 1970, Walton introduced his profit-sharing plan. I love this. The profit-sharing plan was a plan for Walmart employees to improve their income dependent on the profitability of their store. Now they kind of have a self, you know, investment. If the store doesn't do well, I don't do well. What a way to make your employees work harder. We ought to do that in the church. A profit-sharing plan. The better you do, the better the church does. The better the church does, the better you do. Well, that's kind of a concept. Instead of, hey, you do everything for us, Pastor, or hey, the board ought to do everything. That's a great concept. And so I said to myself, if I ever started a church, 20 years of being a youth pastor, if I ever had my own church, I wonder what it would look like. And I determined in my heart that if I ever had a church, so one of these days, if I ever have my own church, I thought this would be a great concept. And so I had a few ideas, and here's what happened. Employees at the Walmart stores were offered stock options and store discounts. These benefits are commonplace today. But Walton was among the first to implement them. He believed that a happy employee meant happy customers and more sales. Well, that's just common sense. But you know, you've gone to some stores and you thought, oh, I'm never coming back here again. You've seen some people behind the desk, you couldn't even get their attention if they could get off their cell phone with their boyfriend or girlfriend. I don't know if you've ever been there. Well, he believed that by giving an employee a part of the company and making their success dependent on it, they would care about the company. And by 1980, Walmart sales had over $1 billion in 300 stores across North America by 1980. Over $1 billion because he got an idea. And here's his 10 basic concepts. He says, here's my 10 things to make this work. And I thought this was pretty good. He said, number one, commit to your goals. Number two, share your rewards. Number three, energize your colleagues. Communicate all you know. Value your associates. Celebrate your success. Some of you are trying to write this down. You're going to have to listen online later on. Celebrate your success. Seven, listen to everyone. Well, there's a concept. Eight, deliver more than you promise. Now, there is an opposite. That's kind of Jesus, the first or last, and the last or first, the greatest or the least, and the least or the greatest. Do more than you promise. Nine, work smarter than others. And 10, blaze your own path. That was Sam Walton. He was a good man, and he continued driving that old pickup truck and wearing those bib overalls. He was comfortable in them. Didn't really change a lot of his lifestyle. Certainly he had the money, and he had meetings and things like that, corporations, and he had billions of dollars. Second richest man when he died in the world. That's amazing. Right behind Bill Gates. That's an amazing concept to be that successful. Well, the Bible talks about that. And I thought to myself this morning, when we think about full service stations, and I wanted to share out of my heart, if we were as a church to say that's our concept, and it is, as Grace Ministry, we want to be a full service church. You as an individual, don't you want to be a full service Christian? Someone who is serving God fully instead of a self-serve church or a self-serve Christian. And so we find in the book of Acts, Peter and John talking about this stuff in their lives and some of the things that are happening in their lives. And I thought, wonder what some of my concepts are. I don't have these 10 concepts, but when I was in college, they taught us 5 things. I kind of adapted those over 20 years. And here's some of the things I think as a church that I think are important. Number one, I think as a full-service station that we ought to have, we ought to check the gauges. When people come in, we ought to have folks that just come running on out. When that bell rings, we ought to be able to check people's gauges. You ought to be able to come in church and say, check the gauges. I mean, pop the hood open and go in there and say, okay, where's the transmission fluid? Now, for some of you, you might say, where is that one? Or the power steering fluid? Or where's the coolant? Or even, how about this, where is that dipstick to the oil? There are people, do you know there are people who just don't know where those things are? And as a church, we ought to be able to help folks find that in their lives. Now you say, well, we're not talking about oil. We're not talking about transmission fluid. We're not. We're talking about those things in our lives that are important. No wonder why it says in verse 42, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayer. You know what that is? That's popping the hood open. What are we checking for? We're checking for the breaking of bread. We're checking for prayer. We're checking for the teaching of the Word of God. Let's pop the hood open this morning. What do you got under the hood? How's your fluid level? How are you at prayer this morning? You know, we ought to have a church, and church ought to be a place where you could really get into the Word and be taught how to do these things. Honestly, my wife, she was doing a college ministry a few years back at another church, and she had this girls' group. And one of her things on a Sunday night, she got all the girls together and she got some men of the church to come out, teach the girls how to change the oil of their car. And I thought that was a pretty good thing. And to be able to check some of those gauges. And some of those girls, I'm sure, had never even maybe popped a hood in their car. How do you get this thing open? Got to get under the grill. You got to open that thing. Oh, by the way, the latch is on the inside. Pop the latch and then you can pop the hood. Oh, and they were just discovering this stuff for the first time. As a Christian, we can't just assume people know how to do things. Sometimes you come into church and you're just expected to know everything, know where to find things and do things. And I want you to know, as a full service station, we ought to be able to help people check their gauges. We ought to help people know how to pray. No wonder why Jesus said to his disciples, and they said, teach us how to pray. Wait a minute, you're with the Son of God and you're a Jew. You don't know how to pray? And they said, no, teach us. We really want to know how to really pray where it works. You know what I'm talking about? Not if you say this 7 times and promise to publish it in the newspaper, and then you tell 7 other people and pass this along, you keep the chain going, and maybe God will listen to you. Or I'm not sure what words do you say? Why do people always close with, in the name of Jesus, amen? Why do we say amen anyway? What's that all about? Well, because the word means, amen is the Hebrew word, amen, which means, and so be it. I agree with you, God. And so when we're praying, we're agreeing with God. Well, that's a neat thing. I didn't know that. We ought to check our spirits, and we ought to pop the hood open and come into church and be able to say, I'm going to check some things. Think about Peter, who's in this story. Peter needed to have his fluids checked all the time. Think about his life. I mean, he pulls out a sword at one point. He's cutting off a guy's ear. At another point, he's yelling, how many times do I got to forgive my brother? I'm thinking his fluids are a little bit low in patience and kindness and gentleness and suffering and self-control. And these, the Bible says, are the fruit of the Spirit. These are your gauges. Some people say, well, that guy can really preach. That guy can really sing. Oh, that girl can really... You know what? Those aren't the gauges we need. When you pop the hood, those aren't even in the engine. The things that are in your engine that need to be checked are the gifts of the Spirit. You know what? I don't care how loud you can sing. I want to know how much you can love. Oh, good. We did get an amen there. Let's get this thing rolling a little bit. I don't care how much of tongues you can shout out and how many languages you can speak in. If you don't have patience for your brother, your fluid is low and you ought to have somebody pop the engine open, pop the hood open and check that and go, you know what, God, give me a measure. Give me a measure of grace. Give me a measure of patience. Give me, you know, people don't want to pray that. Oh, God, give me patience. Every day. Watch out, because He's going to give you a situation that's going to cause you to either exercise patience or impatience. When you say, oh, God, give me forgiveness and love. Guess what? God's going to bring someone into your life that's going to test your forgiveness and love. You better pop the engine open. That's why church ought to be a place where we can come, open the hood up, and have a full service where you come in and you learn about the grace. No wonder why when Peter says, how many times do I got to put up with this garbage with my brother? You remember that? And Jesus said, how many times do you have to forgive your brother? Well, here's how many times, Peter. 70. 70? Ah, 70. Okay, 70. Times 7. So 7, that's 490 a day. Could you see? I mean, his engine's overheating right now. If you're going to ask God to pop the... If you want a full service station, then we got to allow God to go ahead and pull that transmission up. We got to allow Him to get that power steering. We ought to have Him get on that brake fluid saying, whoa, whoa, easy. And you ought to be able to allow God to pop the hood open and say, you know what, God, check the gauges. This is a church that will help teach you how to learn about patience and love and kindness and holiness and forgiveness and gentleness. And here we go, self-control. Oh, you mean I got to have some of those? You got to have all of those full in your life. Some people say, well, let's have the fruit of the Spirit. Well, I've got some of the fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit, there's 9 of them in the Bible. It's not fruits of the Spirit. In other words, well, I got gentleness, but I don't need self-control. The Bible says you have every single one of these in your engine. They all come from the same root. So you got to have the root to get the fruit. Okay? If you got the root, Jesus Christ, and you have all 9 of these, that means that you got to have patience. That means you got to have self-control. If you have love, you got to have forgiveness. Long suffering, that means you suffer long and don't lose your temper. Is God popping the hood open this morning? Welcome to the fill-in station. Have you said, oh no, don't open the hood. I don't want you touching that gauge because I might find that it's dry to the bone. Folks, if it's dry to the bone, your engine's going to seize up going down the road. You are not going to get what God has for you. You are not going to go where God wants you to go because you don't have the brake fluid. Brakes are out and you are out of control going down the highway, and look out for the person that gets you and rubs you wrong because you are going to crash head on because you got no brakes. In other words, no self-control. You got no power steering. That means you're out of control. We've got to allow God to pop the hood open and check the gauges. So that's the first thing. Isn't that great? That's only the first thing. There's 4 more. And they're going to get worse from here. If you come to God's station, you know what He does? He's not one of these guys that goes, yeah, bring the car in. They let us sit for 2 hours and then they write a bill. That'll be $250. What'd you do? Oh, a lot of complicated things. Just pay the bill. And you drive it and it's the same car that it was when you took it in. God doesn't do that. God actually gets in there and He starts looking in and He starts taking the wrenches and cranking them. And when He starts cranking the wrench in your life, you know what happens? Ouch! Let Him get under the hood. That's the first thing. Check the gauges. In other words, in the Old Testament, I have to say this. In the Old Testament, it was Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel. I think it's in chapter 5, where Daniel is just getting favor from God and the king, even though he's not a godly king. He says, oh, God is God. Your God, Daniel, is God. Well, he starts messing up. And God comes to him and says, I'm going to put some writing on the wall. And God comes and writes right into his life. He says, here's the diagnostics of your car problem. And he writes these words in the Hebrew. He says, many, many tekel parsons. Many, many tekel parsons. And it's Nebuchadnezzar. And he says, I don't know what this means. Daniel, come and tell me what this means. He says, well, let me tell you what your engine problem is. And it says, many, many. It says, you have been weighed in the balances. You have been measured. Your life has been measured. And you have been found lacking. Your fluids are empty. You have been found lacking in loving and kindness and joy. Let's not be found lacking in those fluids. The second one is the next verse, verse 42. Everyone was filled. What does your Bible say? What were they filled with? It says they were filled with awe in their lives. And so not only do we need to check the gauges, we ought to have a church that gets air in the tires. They were filled with awe. We need our tires filled. You ever go into a station now? You got to pay for air in most stations. You got to go up there. If you got a flat, you better have some quarters. Because it's going to cost you to get air into your tires. Folks, I want you to know that Jesus Christ wants us to fill our tithes, fill our lives. It says they were filled with awe. We ought to have a church that when you come in, God pumps into your tires, into your life. He ought to pump air. He ought to pump life. He ought to pump something in there, the breath of God, and that is worship. He ought to pump something in you that causes you just to go, oh. Is that happening in your life? Do you come in and you just go, wow, that is awesome. The sum of my awe. God ought to fill you up. You ought to have a place where you just go, God, that was wonderful. And what were the things that were causing them to do this? I love this. The Bible says, your Bible says they were filled with awe because many signs and miracles were being done. Isn't that great? We ought to be in a church where many signs and miracles are being done. And I don't know what you think about miracles. And frankly, it doesn't really matter what you think about miracles. God still does miracles. God still does signs and wonders. If you've never seen a wonder of God, you haven't been in the hospital with a young man who was burned and God healed his body. If you've never seen the signs and wonders of God, then you weren't here yesterday to see a young lady who has staples from one ear to another that God has healed out of a coma that they had no idea what they were going to do. If you've never had signs and wonders in your life, then two Christmases ago when we started this church and I walked into a hospital with a dead girl and I prayed over her and her family says, we're not Christians, we don't know anything about God, but would you pray for our daughter? And we prayed over that 15-year-old girl and they said she was brain dead with no activity and they were going to unplug her tubes. And the next day she woke up and today she's going to school and she's learning how to read and write all over again. If you've never seen those signs and wonders, then I don't know where you're going, but you need to put yourself out there and allow God to do something in your life. You see, the only reason I see signs and wonders in my life and the things of God, because one, I believe Him, and two, I let Him do it in my life. I just say, God, put me out there. I don't know these people. I don't know what's going to happen. And sometimes we're just so afraid that God might not show up that we're embarrassed to even say anything. And I tell people all the time when they come up and I say, hey, let's pray for a job. And I say, God's going to do something in the midnight hour. And God comes through in the midnight hour. And somebody comes up to me and says, Pastor, my marriage is falling apart. And I say, you know what? I'm going to pray that God does something. And He's going to cause somebody to get just absolutely sick of not being married, that it'll bring your marriage back together. I'm going to pray that God would do this. And I just put myself out there. Why? Because I know what God wants in His Word because I've been to church and I know what His signs and wonders are. I know His heart. His will is that we might have life and have life abundantly. That is God's will. He says, I want this. I will it. I'm the King and I want this in your life. And so why not pray for it? Well, what if He doesn't do it? Well, then He chooses not to do it. But I'm still going to find the signs and wonders because when God does something, and it could be this simple, you could be going into a hospital room, Missy, and you could see a little boy being born, and you could say, ah. And I'll tell you, we ought to have air in our tires. We ought to have God just pump air right into our lives where we just look like the kids yesterday. I'm sure it happened. In fact, my daughter was on a roller coaster with your son. And I've got a picture of it at my house. I'd love to have put it up this morning. I didn't have time. She showed me. They got home about 12:30 last night from Cedar Point. They went on this huge roller coaster. He hadn't been on there. She goes, Dad, look, I was on this thing, and I was screaming. It was great. It's this dragster thing, this drag force, this Chop Thrill Dragster roller coaster. It goes like 100 miles an hour, 120 miles an hour. It's hundreds of feet high. It was awesome. It was awesome. And I saw the picture. And there's my daughter. She's like, ah, screaming, you know, as they're coming down. And I like where the camera, and she described it this way. She says, it was like, it looks like my jaw's about to bust right off. And I looked over next to her at this gigantic football player, this muscular, macho guy who just doesn't do roller. He got on there. And his face is like, I mean, that's just, and they captured it. It is, I don't know if you've seen it yet. We'll get you a copy. It is, and the two of them sitting there, and you could just see the expression like, it's that awe. Like, I'm going to die, but maybe I'm not going to die, but this is awesome. And I want you to know, I think the reason that God let us have roller coasters is to give us an expression at times in our lives to go, wow, this is awesome. What is it that God's doing in your life? And you've put yourself out there sometimes, and you have been there, and you said, God, if you don't show up, I don't know if I'm going to make it. and you put yourself out there and you just watch the hand of God and you believe Him by faith. The Bible says, as a man believes, so it is in his life. And no wonder why it says here, and they were filled with awe. Of course they were filled with awe. They were walking with Jesus. If you walk with Jesus in this gas station, if you let Him come out, He says, I'm going to pump your tires full. And He has taken my breath away on more than one occasion, even this week. I want you to know that God ought to be taking your breath away. You ought to find Him in the beauty of it. In fact, if you can't find God in the beauty of a baby, if you can't find God, you're looking for this miracle of Him raising dead people, and you say, I just can't find that because that's probably not going to happen every day, then do this. You find the awesome miracle of God this morning when you drive home. Yes, I told my wife, we're just driving down the street. I said, look at that tree. Isn't that awesome? It was brilliantly crimson red on half of it. In the middle, it was just turning. On the other side, it was still green. I said, look at the awesomeness of that tree. Isn't that the most beautiful tree you've ever seen? That is an awesome tree. And if that can't even take... I mean, in a tree that has been there every day you drive by, let God just take your breath away. Welcome to church. He ought to take your breath away. He's God. And He changes lives, and that ought to take your breath away. He took me from death and the pit of hell, and He gave me life, and He raised me up as a son of a king. I have an inheritance in glory. I am the child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. People answer to my King, and I'm royalty. That ought to make you feel good this morning. You are a child of the King. He took every sin that you ever had in your life. And I don't care what you've done. I don't care if it was adultery or murder or lying and gossip. He took all that upon a cross and said, my children, I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I am taking away your punishment. If you will walk with me, let me fill your tire this morning. The third thing... We're going to move now, aren't we? We're not in any hurry to go anywhere. It's cold outside. It's warm. It's getting warm in here. And here it is. In verse 44, it said all the believers. It says all the believers were together and had everything in common. And they gave as they had need, and no one had a need. And I think if you want to go to a gas station that's full service, it ought to be a co-op. I don't know if you know what a co-op is. In South Dakota, they have co-ops. All the farmers own the farmer's gas station elevator. They all own it. It's theirs. They set the prices. They own it. It's theirs. When you have ownership in something, it's a co-op. And it says everyone had everything in common. This is fellowship. The other one, it was worship. The one before that was discipleship. I love this. This is fellowship. Let me say it this way. Whatever you go through in your life, you ought to have a church that says to you, and Christians, and you ought to say to others, you don't have to go through this alone. I'm here for you. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how hard this is. I want you to know. Yesterday, we raised $1,781 yesterday just doing spaghetti. And we said to this family, they're not a church family. They just started coming because of this whole situation through the summer. I did a wedding and then got to know them, and then they called me when they had a need. They don't have a whole lot of understanding about even who God is. Now they started coming to church. And yesterday, the dad, he came up to me as they were leaving and we cleaned up, and tears were in his eyes. He said, tell everyone thank you. I said, absolutely I will. He said, I don't even know how to repay you. I said, you're not here to repay us. This is all. Well, we want to give some of this back to the church. I said, no, we don't need it and we don't want it. I said, this is for you. Why? And I said, look, I said, Wally, you don't have to go through this alone. What you're going through, we as a church, we as human beings, isn't that what this whole gas station's all about? Listen, when you pull up to the gas station and you're broke down and you're sitting there going, oh, what am I going to do? You don't have to do it alone. We ought to be able to help out. This service station ought to be full service. And this past year and a half, we gave over $50,000 away. Over $50,000. We're a brand new church. You might be looking around in first service. I love this first service. It's good to see. We're starting to fill around the wings in first service. I told my wife, I said, we're going to come in this morning. It's cold. The kids were gone all night, all them and their parents. And it's just one of those mornings. We're going to show up. it might just be a couple of us here this morning, and I'll just kind of pull up a chair and we'll sit around and talk. And I think it's great because it's a full service place that you're coming in a place to know you can make a difference and you don't have to go alone. We gave over $50,000. Triple H, Pastor Kevin, just like last year, we're going to have, and maybe some of you will sign up, to get a cardboard box and go live homeless and to go without eating for 2.5 days. The idea that you can go through Thursday night and Friday and then Saturday morning, that you can go homeless and hungry to help raise money. Last year we raised over $7,000 to help people in our community. We had food that was being brought in from every direction out there, and we took that. We stocked food banks all over this community. There are 14 food banks in this community. And we just took from you guys another $500 check to the one that they don't even know us. They're Catholics. What are we doing giving money to other people that aren't our church? Who cares? They're brothers in Christ. We have fellowship. Listen, our gas station is their gas station. Their gas station is our gas station. Every church in this community is, we all get the fuel from the same pump. It's the same place. And we took a check up there and they just went, oh, we can't believe you get here. Just take it. What do you want? Whatever you want to do with it. Fill up your aisles again in this food pantry. Some of you are going to go homeless and we're going to stock up these food pantries. Some of you are going to raise hundreds and thousands of dollars for this community this winter. Some of you are going to go homeless just to know what it's like to be hungry because some people don't have a choice to make it fun. What a sacrifice. What an awesome thing. And it says, and everyone selling their possessions and goods gave to anyone that they had need. Hey, you got a need? I'm going to meet it. Welcome to Grace Ministry. We want to meet needs. I can't believe we gave away $50,000. We could have had some pretty good pay rate. We could have hired another pastor on staff for $50,000. No, we don't need to. We are right where we need to be, and we are doing just what we need to do, and we're just giving it away. We're giving it away. You know, a few months ago, we just gave away the offering, too. Well, that was a dumb thing to do. What are you doing? Giving away the offering. I suppose you're going to want more. Yes. Why? So we can give it away. That's what we do. The fourth one, wash the windows. If you've ever had your windows washed at a place, it's good to have your windows washed. If you've ever driven down the road and your windows aren't clean and they're dirty, it's going to be hard to get down those roads. And the Bible says here, it says in verse 46, every day they continue to meet together. They broke bread in their home and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. That word sincere in your Bible, you got to catch this. You may not have seen this before, but the word sincere means clean, a clear heart. They met together and they enjoyed each other with clear hearts. In other words, no guilty conscience. You're driving down the road and you've got sin and you've got things in your life in your windshield. You know what you're doing? You're doing this. It's like this morning when you probably tried to get your car going and you had all the frost on it. And you had to clear a little spot. And I don't know if you cleared the whole thing or you just kind of drove through one little hole. That's a dangerous thing to do. And you're driving along. There are people driving in their lives and they don't have clear windshields. We ought to have a church that helps people get clear windshields. You ought to be able to find God's love in this place. And listen, let me let you know. The blood of Jesus Christ is the great detergent for a dirty windshield. The blood of Jesus Christ is a great detergent for your windshield. And so this morning, I want you to know the forgiveness of the blood. Jesus wants to wash our hearts clean. And so you can drive down the road and see where you're going. So many people have no idea what God has for them because they have a heart that's full of crud and they can't see the things of God. You can only see the things of God, and this is vision. You can only have the vision of God if you have a clean heart. And the Bible says without the vision, the people perish. You got to have vision. You got to have a clean heart. I lived in South Dakota and along the Missouri River. I remember one time in college I was driving along and the fog was so bad I couldn't see the road. And I was trying to get back to campus and on this road, this 55, I was doing about 4 miles, 5 miles an hour. And I was looking out. I had my car door propped open. I couldn't see any. And I'm looking at the yellow line and following the yellow line. It was that bad. The visibility was that it was like soup. It was so thick. And I'm driving along. I had to drive all the way back about 5 miles from the river back to my campus. And this is what I did all the way home to to find. Some days are foggy like that. Let God make sure at least we don't fog ourselves up when the world fogs our lives up. And let's have a clear, keep it clear so you have a good view. You may need to back up. You may need to look left or right. But make sure that at least you have a clear windshield, a clear and sincere heart in your life. And this church offers you the opportunity, if you've never made Christ your Savior, or you have a sin in your life, or there's something in your life that's just, you say, I want to get rid of it. Listen, Jesus will forgive you if you just ask Him. And then finally this, roadside assistance. It said, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I love that. The Lord added daily those who were being saved. I have to say, welcome to Grace. We have people saved all the time. I am blown away at how many people keep coming into our church. It is growing. We don't advertise. I mean, we made a DVD. Some of you may even got that. We made these DVDs to hand out. That's the first thing in 2 years that we've ever done anything to spend any money to tell anybody that we're even here. I had somebody come up to me last week. And he says, I didn't know you were here. I said, well, how did you find us? He said, I had someone say something to me. I said, exactly. Oh, yeah, and they gave me a DVD, but I didn't know this was here. He says, man, this is a lot bigger inside than it looks outside. I said, well, welcome to Grace. He says, oh, I'll be back. I said, great, because here's what we need. Not only do we have a full service station, but a full service station just doesn't come out when the bell rings and everybody goes, let's check the tires, you know, let's get under the hood, let's make sure the tires are pumped up, let's get the gauges going, let's do all. We ought to have roadside assistance. And this is the final point. Roadside assistance means go out and help people who are broke down. That means we ought to have a full service station that goes and fully services people on the road. In other words, you're it. Welcome to Grace. You are Grace. If you're a Christian, guess what? You are God's full service station to a world that is broken down. And no wonder why it says in chapter 3, I added this just this last 2 days. I asked Pastor Kevin to read on chapter 3. It originally wasn't part of the text. But it says, one day Peter and John were going. They were going up to the temple. And look at what they did while they were going. They found someone broke down on the side of the road, a crippled man. And they were on their way to church, to the full service station. And you know what they did? They didn't let their religion get in front of their relationship. Their religion could have said, we got to get to church on time. Pastor's going to be mad. You know what they did? They stopped and said, oh, this is the church. We are roadside assistants. And they said, can we help you, young man? And what did this young man say? He said, oh, have you got some food or money? Ring, ring, ring with his tin cup. He was begging. Have you got something for me? Ring, ring, ring. And they said, oh, have we got something for you? We're about to put some air in your tires, young man. He said, we don't have silver or gold. I don't have the money to fix your... I can't pay off your mortgage. I can't pay your heating bill. But what you really need right now in your life, and maybe sometimes you can do the heating bill, but what he needed in that time in his life more than anything, that young man needed to get up and start getting that car back on the road so he can go work and he could make money and he could make a living and he could have respect in his own life. Instead of sitting out there, dragged actually out there by his family every day and wringing a tin cup, that is not respect. This man did not want that. And Peter and John said, you know, we don't have silver or gold, but what we have, we're going to give to you. And in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. They got that man back on the road. He got back on the road because these guys were a full service station and they had roadside assistance. And I think we can learn that as a church, that wherever you're going, know this, that God wants you to be roadside assistance. I'm glad you came here to fill up. I hope God opens up your, pops your hood open, and I hope He gets into some of the fluids and gets some things going. But folks, this church is what you make it to be, not what I make it to be. I'll preach the Word. We'll check the gauges. But we need to make sure that this is, don't be so busy with life that you don't have time to give life. Don't be so busy with life that you don't have time to give life. You are roadside assistants. And I can't imagine what is so important about your life that you can't stop to give someone life or a cup of coffee or a little oxygen and have them go, oh, that was awesome. They'll go tell everybody. And they will be filled with wonder. Someone stopped. They gave me $50. They gave me $1,000. They took me to a hotel. They took my car in. They gave me a ride, and they weren't even going in that direction. Way to fill them with awe. Fill up their tires. Be a roadside assistant. The story, I close with it. The story is told of a man who owned a full service station in a town near an army post. And one day a family drove up beside the pumps, and the man went out to pump the gas, clean the windows, check the oil, and everything else. The man from the car and his children headed to the bathrooms. And the lady said to the station owner, "What kind of town is this? My husband and I just transferred here, and we're kind of worried. What kind of town is this?" And the man said, "What kind of town did you leave?" And the woman said, "We were sorry to leave our town. The schools were so good, and the children had so many good friends. We really loved our church and had so many friends. We also enjoyed all the neat places that there were to shop." "Well," said the gas station owner, "I think you'll find this place a lot like the place you just left." They pulled out, and in came another car. And the other car pulled in a short time later, and a man and his two children got out, and they headed to the bathroom. And the lady sitting there said, "Sir, can you help me? My husband and I just got transferred here, and we were just kind of wondering what kind of town this was." And the owner said, "Well, what kind of town did you just leave?" And she said, we were so happy to leave. The schools were so bad, and our kids had no friends whatsoever. We couldn't find a church that we liked, and the people at the churches were so unfriendly. We had to drive for miles just to find a good place to even shop." And the man said, I think you'll find this town exactly like the one you just left." The town is the people. You can't run, or you can't find what you already don't already have to offer. You make the church full service, or you make the church self-service. God is so good to us. We have some things, one thing that you need to be aware of to pray for. As a church, we have been a full service station. We haven't hindered a single ministry. But our board, we met this week. July and August were hard in our community for a lot of you. We helped a lot of families. We helped people that have nothing to do with our church. We just keep giving it away. Well, I think we gave it all away. And then July, we were ready for it. We had a surplus set aside of about $9,000 to handle the July. It's just the way Julys are. We weren't ready for August. And so we're playing catch up. And we said, you know what, though? We want to continue doing every ministry. And we paid every bill that we've had to pay. And I'm so thankful what God's done. We're a brand new church. I know churches that are closing in town. I know churches that are standing saying, either you do this or we're done. I know of at least three. And I said, God, thank you so much for what you're doing. Maybe it's because we're just giving it away. We don't have time to worry about who's got it and who doesn't. But here's what we decided. We have not done a love offering or some kind of offering. We do our tithes every week. But as a church for 2 years, we've not done, in the Old Testament, they have these offerings, these special days where they celebrate the Feast of Weeks. And they come and say, "Feast of Weeks!" And they celebrate and they bring all the offering in and they give it to the Lord. And they have a party for a whole week. Sometimes they'll have the year of Jubilee and they'll have a party for a whole year. And they'll just forgive all the debts and they'll do this. And I'm reading through that this week as I talked to the board and I shared with them. I said, you know, it's probably time that we just do a love offering to God, a harvest offering. So at the end of this month, on a special Sunday, the 26th, we are going to have a harvest offering. And I love it because it's Halloween. It's a Halloween offering. And you say, whoa, Halloween. The word means all blessed night. It used to be a time when the harvest was in and they would celebrate. And they would come in and they'd wave the offering and the grains. And they'd say, thank you, God, for the harvest. Thank you, God, for the food on my table. Thank you, God, for all that you've done this summer. So we're going to come in and we're going to have a harvest offering. That's not our tithe. Our tithe is our tithe. But we want you to pray about this. How can I be a part of the miracle? Because God, I believe God wants us to do this Christmas thing, where thousands and thousands of people are going to get blessed that may not be able to have food on it. We're looking at giving away hundreds of turkeys and hams and food, presents for kids who don't have presents, for our military families, for our poor families that just go, it's going to be a hard one. They're talking gas going up. We're going to bless families. And so we want to make sure this storehouse is full. In fact, I'd like it to just kind of be throbbing full, that we can't contain it, because we're getting ready for what God's going to do. We've always believed this since the day we started Grace Ministry out of our house on a Sunday night with my family. we sat around saying, what does God have for us? This is what we believe. And it has been a miracle ever since. And God has filled our tank. We want God to fill your tank. And we just want you to pray, what would God have you to give? And whether it's the widow's mite, which became greater than the ruler's riches, whatever it might be, or maybe you're like Nicodemus, you say, God has done so much in my life, I'm going to give back four times the amount I've taken from God and people. I don't know what it is, but you know what? We're leaving that up to you. We're looking for a miracle at the harvest offering, and we're going to celebrate. It's going to be a day of celebration. And we're going to fill up every tank at the gas pumps. And you know what I'm talking about, because down in North Carolina and South Carolina and Georgia, their tanks right down there right now, you pull up, they've got plastic covers for the last 2 to 3 weeks. They've had no gas. They got lines 2 miles long. And when they get up there pushing their cars up, they go, you can have 5 gallons maybe if we have gas. And I'm thinking, that's because the pipelines aren't getting to the suppliers. Their tanks are empty. I pray that we fill up our tanks overflowing and say, come on in. Come fill up. Come fill up. This winter, when things are tough, come fill up. Welcome to the fill-in station. We're full service. Let's stand together and pray.